hustling, working hard to get a raise, lifting that wage up. Inflation takes it like a hidden taxation. Manipulated interest rates to get the bank rate to create money with the loans that they're giving out daily. That means our money is debt, and we gotta pay back more than 100%. No wonder then why the middle class is going under, when the ones above them gotta cover income to collect. And many have no access to banking, making payments or saving, so more fees are taken. And every day the gatekeepers are trying to stop change. We cannot wait. Welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard most every Saturday, 12.05 p.m. to 1.30 p.m. If you tuned in a little earlier, I want to thank you for your patience for sticking around as we work through some technical issues here in the studio. But I think we have a full house and are ready to get on with this week's roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and blockchain news. Well, no need to go to the amusement park this week. It's a roller coaster ride with crypto. And whistleblower Edward Snowden asked if you really think Bitcoin is private. And just for emphasis, with a little help from the Congress, they slipped the Cloud Act into the omnibus budget bill, and we'll tell you what that means to you. Plus, the Synapse Innovation Summit seeks to make Tampa Bay a global tech center, and we'll be speaking with one of the co-founders of that, Mark Blumenthal, in the second half of the show. We also have a guest in the studio that we'll be introducing to you in a little bit more, but he's a regular voice here on the Henry Rain Show. That, of course, is Mark Principato, Mark P. Markets, which is one of the leading columns on TradingView.com. But as I said, we have a full house here in the studio today. Not every single person. In fact, one person's notable by his absence. We'll get to that in just a moment, but let's get this started and get underway here with our intros. Well, in the house and first to be introduced, of course, Augie, formerly the contrarian, now the crazy lunatic. Hey, Augie, how are you doing?
Well, when you go against the grain of the cryptos, you're going to be called everything under the sun, especially with the tax liabilities of the special task force and the IRS coming around the corner.
Maybe Billy Joel needed to do a song called The Heretic. I think that would be more appropriate
for you.
Well, helps when your mic's on.
Rain on your speculative parade, right?
All right, let's keep this moving. We've got on the same mic as I said, full house, shared mics today.
There's a star waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks he'd blow our minds.
Our resident recovering engineer turned science fiction romance novelist, Sabine Priestley. Hi, Sabine. Glad you could be here.
Thank you for having me here. Hi, everyone.
Thank you being first among all of us here this week. A little inside joke there, but you may have been able to tell by some of the early 1205-ishness around WWPR here. And then we have, of course, our own Goldbug1, a.k.a. Andy, from TradingView.com, from SeekingCryptos.com, co-founder of that. Andy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Henry. I'm thinking I need to change my, my entry song. I mean, everybody's got such an upbeat pop. I love David Bowie. I mean, we're going with this. And who even plays the Goldbug song? I mean, who's the artist on that?
I got to say, I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah, I mean something like, you know, give me.
Where did we get all the divas in this studio?
It was synonymous with mine. Go down the toilet and see what it feels like.
Yeah. We need to work on that. I'm thinking anew with something like upbeat, you know. Not Uptown Girl. I don't need that. I don't need Uptown Girl. But something, you know, something more relevant. Well, good afternoon, Henry.
Well, I can hardly wait to see what you edit to send me a file.
A golden yellow basket, right?
There we go. I'm good with that.
Who was that, Peggy Lee?
Oh, may have been. Sorry about that, Henry.
We'll get you the top hit from 1937. Augie's going to dig through his old album collection, going through the 78.
Or Somewhere Over the Rainbow with Judy Garland.
I love Judy Garland.
And there's always a pot of gold.
You want that?
No, a pot of gold over the rainbow.
I think we just need to get away from you and go to the co-founder of Seeking Cryptos, because he brings that New York sensibility into the studio, and I think he'll find you something a little bit not so 1935 for your intro. Mark Principato is here with in the studio. Mark P. Markets, thank you for joining. Coming all the way down here for us.
Thanks for having me, Henry.
Yeah, well, for those of you who haven't heard him previously on the show, Mark is the former director of futures and forex trading at SMB Capital. He's known for world-class trader education. He's held the CMT designation from the Market Technicians Association. He's a previous Series 3 763 license holder, just collecting them like trading cards. Has trained hundreds of students online and in person. He began his career in 1999 trading NASDAQ stocks during the height of the dot-com era. And he, as I previously said, with Andy, a.k.a. Goldbug1, is the co-founder of Seeking Crypto, SeekingCryptos.com, who just successfully held their first investing seminar here in Bradenton, or as we call it, the greater Bradenton metro area, spanning all of Tampa Bay and the Orlando area.
And I want to shout out here, Henry, to Troy and his buddies that came down from Brandon and brought us a little gift from Mark and I. It was more than, it was just unbelievable. And the people that showed up are great.
Well, Mark, congratulations to you for...
I interrupt everybody, Mark. Don't worry about it.
Sorry, I'm used to it.
For being the showstopper yesterday as you wrapped up the whole thing with a introduction to charting and technical analysis. And you will also, out of the kindness and generosity of your soul, going to be at the meetup at 3 o'clock today and maybe covering a little bit of what you did yesterday, maybe some of the things that you haven't covered yesterday. And... any thoughts, since Andy already jumped in about what he thought of the initial seminar for Seeking Cryptos, what were your impressions?
Well, first off, I mean, I was overwhelmed by the reception and the warmth that we got from that crowd. It's my first time here on the west coast of Florida, and these people really made me feel welcome. They were very warm and friendly, and that guy Troy Brave, you know, with that gift, I was blown away. Him and his friends were very supportive, so I felt very welcome. I never feel this welcome back home in New York, so it was nice, very nice.
Mark had a veritable fan club there. Mark and Andy both. It was like rock stars. I need to get a picture with you both.
I think they just took pictures of me just to make me feel good, to be honest with you.
Hey, it's the first time I've heard anything about a gift yesterday.
Oh, I was shocked. We were shocked.
It was cool. I dreamt about it.
All right. Well,
I just wonder who's in those dreams, Sabine. Can you, give us a little more in detail?
We'll get that on another week. We're back
to different show.
Time right now. So, Mark, before we get into the news, tell us what the goal is for Seeking Cryptos, SeekingCryptos.com. You're really starting to get your stride now from when you just opened up the website, and now you're starting to add services and contributors. What's up?
Well, so here's the thing. Seeking Cryptos is basically the market intelligence for the active crypto investor, but not just cryptos, because we also specialize in other instruments as well. So we'll be exploring Forex and equities and futures and things like that. But, you know, obviously cryptos is a big part of what we do. As far as our site goes, right now we're just getting our system going. We're offering everything that we're offering for free, which I know sounds a little unbelievable.
You've got to make it up on volume.
That's what right. No, it's, you know, so we'll be offering signals. We'll be offering research. We'll be offering our special Seeking Cryptos model portfolio so people can see actually how to do these things and how to manage them for themselves.
Well, we'll find out about that and all much more, as well as the meetup. And we have a special guest in the second half hour. He is going to introduce us to the Innovation Summit that's going to happen at the Amalie Arena in Tampa on the 27th and 28th next week of March, and we'll find out more about that. Mark Blumenthal, the co-founder of that, will be with us. We're a little bit behind schedule today. We're going to go to the break, and we will... Excuse me, we got to do selfies in the studio. We do have breaks we could be doing this on, Augie. So.
It was her idea.
Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bite Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bite Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bite Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bite Federal ATM near you. Go to BiteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BiteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Rain Show.
I drink a cup of coffee and start to combing out my hair. I drink 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee.
Wow, some people really love their coffee. But you'll experience much more to love than just the coffee at Mocha Joe's. The perfect spot for family and friends to relax with casual dining or enjoy the pastries and gourmet coffee shop at 3633 Cortez Road, West Bradenton. It will be love at first bite 7 days a week at Mocha Joe's. Thursday is prime rib night, Friday all-you-can-eat fish, and don't forget the world-famous $4.99 Saturday burger night. Vegetarian? On a gluten-free diet? You won't be left out at Mocha Joe's. There's something for everybody at Mocha Joe's. 3633 Cortez Road West. Don't believe me? Then call them up and ask for yourself at 941-753-7094. Open Sunday to Wednesday for breakfast and lunch. Thursday to Saturday for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
40 cups of coffee waiting for you to come home.
Well, we're going right into the news here as we try and play catch-up on the radio show, and that's not the stuff you put on sandwiches. Bitcoin's retreat from the 200-day moving average gathered pace in the last 24 hours. This is actually from yesterday, end of the day, suggesting a drop to 8,000. The cryptocurrency created a moving average resistance on Wednesday, and instead of me trying to interpret the verbiage here on the technical analysis, let's go right to the expert right now, Mark Principata, Mark P. Markets on TradingView.com. And before you give us your take, let me just remind everybody, on Saturday we thought things were somewhat stable as we were doing the show. Then Bitcoin hit a low since the last latest low of February 6th, hit touching in the 7,200, 7,300 range on Sunday, came back up a little bit above 9,000 this week, and now I haven't checked, but I think it's probably trading in the mid to low 8,000s. Well, or maybe up since we started the show. Where is it right now, Mark?
It's trading at 89.45.
Okay, so what is your take on what happened this past week and what you're looking at going forward?
Well, here's the thing. We came off of that 7,200 area low. There was actually a major support in that area, and I've been talking about this for weeks and weeks if you read my reports, and I've been calling for a bottom. Now, this thing has pushed up since then, right, into that 9,000 area and has pulled back. Okay, now that pullback was the second place where I was calling for another bottom. In my most recent reports, we got the signal to go long yesterday, actually, at our presentation.
So did you buy at 7,200?
No. So the actual trigger was the, I'm going to tell you right now, 8721 was the actual trigger. Now, this occurred while we were in our presentation yesterday. And, you know, so we were too busy talking. When I got home at night, you know, I actually called the trade. I put it on TradingView, I put it on our site, Seeking Cryptos, and I took the position. So, you know, that was a limit order that I was actually, I put it 88.15 that the market pulled back to. Because we were trading around the 89.30 area when I saw this. This is around midnight. So since then, you know, we're on our way up. There's a formation in here that's basically saying we have strength, we have buyers that are basically you know, the buying momentum is back in play, and I'm expecting higher prices. I mean, 9,400 is my first target on this.
And then if you see that go past 9,400, then what?
Well, then the next target is the 10,000 area. You know, that's around there. I forget even what I wrote. But it's around 10,000. And then from there, I mean, look, we don't know if it's going to keep going, especially like in a nice, smooth manner. It may pull back. I don't know. I let the price action dictate that to me. I don't make predictions. So what I saw here, I saw the structure setting up. I saw the triggers to get in. I reported it, and now we're moving. So now I let the market tell me what to do, and right now it just says stay long.
Now, you've been a bull on Bitcoin. Have you ever had a change of position, a change of attitude about that since the three-month downtrend we've been in?
So I was bearish on Bitcoin. I don't short these things because I don't trade on margin. That's the first thing. I make that very clear in all my posts. But when we were pushing around 18, 19,000 around there, I was saying stay away from this thing because I saw the resistances, I saw the highs. Now, I could not tell you it was going to 6,000. That I could not tell you. But the market, you know, obviously did what it did, and we hit that low. So that's where I get bearish, is at resistances. That's when I stay off. Now, I've been position trading this thing since January. I've been accumulating a position. My goal with that position is to start unloading around the 15, 16,000 area. That's where I will be shaving off and locking in some profits and trying to let what I have run to retest 20K. Now, is 20K going to happen in a week or so? No, I don't think so. It may take 3 months. It may take 6 months. I don't know. Okay, I let the market tell me. But the thing is, I've built an inventory. Okay, and I try to accumulate most of my inventory at wholesale prices. Once we reach the retail prices, you know, 15, 16K, 17K, I want to shave off and sell it to the people that are getting all excited.
Now, if you're just looking at it superficially, like somebody like me, you see this long three-month downtrend since the peak in December,
mm-hmm.
and you saw what we thought was, or at least us superficial people, thought was a reversal where we got up past 9,500 about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, but then we came down and brought to that low at 7,200. For somebody like that, that's looking at that three-month trend and not just, you know, maybe doing a swing trade or something like that, how do we really know that it's that three-month trend has been reversed?
Well, good question. You have to look at the bigger picture, okay? So I always talk about this perspective. When we were trading into the 8,000s and 7,000s, when we were flirting with those levels recently, I have support levels that are projected all over the place in this area, okay? I have large ones, I have small ones, and they're all based on structure that was put in place going back to, like, the February low and even before that. So when I have that kind of perspective, I'm able to anticipate where that reversal is more likely to happen. I can't guarantee that it will happen, but if I see the signs and I see the buyers starting to come back in, I know I can now take a risk that will more than likely go in my favor, but it may not. I can lose. I'm willing to take the losses, by the way.
So as Mark wraps us up there, I just want to remind people once more to come to Connect Bradenton at 3 o'clock today if you're listening live. There'll be visual aids there. Some of these things that he's talking about over the radio that may be hard to visualize, you'll see right there. It's not a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but it's once-in-a-very-rare opportunity to be able to speak directly with somebody like Mark and bring your questions about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency and the directions. And, of course, he writes about Ethereum and Litecoin also. We're going to move on to a couple other stories because I want to get to these. They're important. And we do have a guest coming up around 12:50, Mark Blumenthal. Edward Snowden, who became notorious for exposing the U.S. National Security Agency, the NSA's massive surveillance agenda in 2013, has said Bitcoin's central flaw may not lie in the transaction rate limitations, but it's in its public ledger. At a Blockstack event in Berlin via webcam, Snowden for the first time gave his audience his views on the technology. While agreeing that Bitcoin will endure for a long period of time, he said, quote, Bitcoin will not necessarily last forever. Continuing quoting, everybody is focused on the transaction rate limitations of Bitcoin being its central flaw, and there is a major one. The much larger structural flaw, the long-lasting flaw, is its public ledger. He explained that the existing mechanism of Bitcoin blockchain has a problem of balancing recording every transaction history and attempting to scale its capacity. quoting again, this is simply incompatible with having an enduring mechanism for trade because you cannot have a lifelong history of everybody's purchases, all of the interactions to be available for everyone, and have that work out well at scale. He continued, when we talk about which cryptocurrencies are interesting to me, I've said it before and I'll say it again, Zcash for me is the most interesting right now because the privacy properties of it are truly unique, but we see more and more projects that are trying to emulate this, and I think this is a positive thing. Well, this is in light of a report that leaked documents suggesting that the NSA may be using its powerful surveillance technology to track not just blockchain ledger, but also individual Bitcoin users of the distributed network. So, Andy, I know you've written about this months ago, I believe. You were talking about that you wouldn't be surprised if the intelligence agencies had been monitoring this and might even have a backdoor.
Well, I don't know about a backdoor to Bitcoin, but as far as the intelligence monitoring, I think we all know that that goes on in every aspect of our life. I mean, look at Facebook. I mean, that's just a total cluster. I mean, it almost makes you feel like you want to close your account out there. But on to another story here. With Bitcoin, you're absolutely right. I mean, people had this, you know, you heard all those senators and that saying, oh, it's, you know, anonymous, they're transferring drugs and all this stuff. And now you feel that it's really not anonymous. And I think that, you know, this has been, it isn't anonymous. They can know which wallets it came from, and there is a way to track it back. And so for them to be tracking it, yeah, Monero, Zcash, and there's another one out there. What's the other one that's anonymous? There's a few of them out there that are anonymous, to be honest with you, I don't know if those are truly anonymous. And I think we had that discussion with Lee at one time.
I think that the anonymity is varies by coin. And as far as Bitcoin goes, if you've been following that, it's pseudo-anonymous. And that's the catch word, right? And I think that's most accurate. And anybody that's following it gets that. It's not hidden.
No, well, your name's not on it. I mean, that's for sure. But
well, although that's not on it, the reports I've been reading said that they believe the NSA is keeping track of the individual addresses.
Absolutely.
And the transactions that happen at those addresses.
And they can transfer those back to an IP address, and they know who's there. I mean, believe me, the NSA knows more than we know.
Back to Mark, you said you shaved off to take your gains.
Well, let's hold that till we finish this line of questioning, because there's more to this story than that.
Augie heard profits, and that's all there was, you know.
You're right.
They continued with sort of asking if it might be that the blockchain is co-opted by dictators. He said it's not a question of if they will be, it's a question of when they will be. It's a question of how do we design competing systems that are simply so attractive they will not be ignored by the global consumer base, but also the governments themselves who are seeking to compete against them will not simply be able to outlaw them and have that be meaningful. Well, that takes us right into the next story here, which is many of us were aware that the omnibus budget bill passed, $1.3 trillion, and it was, in some ways, it's a little more thoughtful than usual by Congress because it's actually a full annual budget, and it actually spent more than a few hours at night with a couple committee members putting it together and submitting it to, but I don't think for $1.3 trillion, I think you can use more than a week to come up with this stuff, although it's been in committees for a while, and there's been a lot of proposals. But within that is something that people that are interested in the topic we were just talking about with the privacy of blockchain and cryptocurrencies and just their electronic data in light of all the other things that have been in the news, Facebook, et cetera. The federal spending bill signed by U.S. President Donald Trump on Friday does more than fund the budget. It also makes it easier for law enforcement agencies to demand access to online information no matter what country the data is stored in. The lawmakers added the, quote, CLOUD Act, and this is one of those cute acronyms that Congress likes to come up with. CLOUD stands for Clarifying Lawful Overseas Use of Data Act, to the spending bill before the final House and Senate votes Thursday. Now, this has to go back to conference, although I guess it doesn't have to go to conference because the president signed off on it.
I believe so.
No, there won't be any further debate on this. Although at the time of this article, they were, I guess, optimistically hoping we'd actually have some kind of debate about it in conference. It updates the rules for criminal investigators who want to see emails, documents, and other communications stored on the Internet. Now, law enforcement won't be blocked from accessing someone's Outlook account, for example, just because Microsoft happens to store it on servers in Ireland. It also lets the U.S. enter into agreements, and this probably is the more disturbing one for people worried about civil liberties, into agreements to send information from U.S. servers to criminal investigators in other countries with limited case-by-case review of requests. The Cloud Act offers an alternative to the current process called MLAT, Mutual Legal Assistance Treaty. Both law enforcement agents and tech companies say such a treaty to request data is cumbersome and slow. The fix has the sector divided, though, with Microsoft favoring the change, actually. But privacy advocates say it would help foreign governments that abuse human rights by aiding their access to online data about the citizens. Brad Smith, Microsoft president, said, "It's a strong statute and a good compromise. It gives tech companies like Microsoft the ability to stand up for the privacy rights of our customers around the world," which I'm sure gives everybody in the studio a warm, fuzzy feeling about that.
Ha, 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 ha.
Orrin Hatch, a Republican from Utah who introduced the act, said it bridges the divide that sometimes exists between law enforcement and the tech sector, but privacy advocates of groups like the ACLU and the Electronic Frontier Foundation has criticized the change. According to the ACLU, it threatens human rights, jeopardizes the Fourth Amendment, interests of individual and U.S. and beyond. Senator Ron Wyden said that while the process needed to be updated, it places far too much power in the president's hands and denies Congress its critical oversight rules. And critics can go on. We have a lot of other comments there. But
you know, what's interesting about that is that, and that does take me back to the article you're probably mentioning about where I said, you know, it wouldn't be over skeptical to say that the government actually invented Bitcoin so that it goes out there and they can digitally track everything. And this goes back to tell everybody every week. That's why you buy gold and silver. If you want a decentralized currency, it's gold and silver, and that's where you need to be positioned. And you should own some.
I think that's my favorite conspiracy.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. And you can wear your gold.
Well, with all that said, Henry, I've got to ask this question of Mark, going back to the profit issue, which Andy blew into. Mark, when you shave that and you have those profits, how do you handle that?
What I don't understand.
Well, when you said you were shaving off in terms of a gain you had, and you sell at that point.
Right.
So how do you take care of that?
Oh, in terms of tax liability?
Yeah.
Well, you just have to treat it like anything else, like a capital gain. You know, it's there's no...
You just pay the tax.
Yeah, you just...
And you set aside the withholding at that time.
You have to keep that...
But
yeah.
If you don't do that...
You're obviously going to run into problems now, especially now. You know,
why especially now, which
well,
I agree
well,
with
Well, why don't we go to the rundown, which is the next story on the list. The Internal Revenue Service has reminded U.S. taxpayers to include cryptocurrency income on their annual tax returns. That was released on Friday, and they not only echoed about paying your capital gains, it was also that you have to recognize crypto payments made to independent contractors as income and reported on a 1099. So not only is there capital gains to be worried about if anybody's received payment on this. So I think that's what you wanted to bring up, Arnie.
Yes, that's exactly right, Henry. And I know that was all in your recap, which was overextended, in my opinion, but just a bit. The point was you had said to me on the phone about this issue. Well, there are only 10 people working in the IRS anyway, according to Alex, but Alex isn't here to...
IRS picked him up.
That may well be.
We haven't heard from him, have we?
But no, there's all kinds of ways that could be about. But nonetheless, they've already formed a task force, which is beyond the 10 people, to do just this.
How many people are there?
Well, they're not saying how many are. But the point is...
Well, they previously announced 10.
Have you ever met with the IRS? I have.
I do not want to go into what I've met with the IRS and Social Security and FBI.
You or haven't you? Yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That was my question.
For my employer.
For your employer?
Yeah.
Not for yourself?
No.
Oh.
You know, to be honest with you, I found the IRS is not as evil as...
The people that
are working there are not as bad as everybody takes it.
Andy, it's not the issue. That's maybe all fine and dandy. I have had two different meetings with IRS people, and you're right. As individuals, as human beings, they're fine. But I met the supervisor of a...
That's different.
Well, we better.
Well,
we're
okay.
Behind schedule on this. We've got
supervisors. Are, you know.
I do think digressions make the show a little bit more interesting,
especially when it's what you want to.
Then our show should be very interesting.
It also makes the show interesting when we come in and have to reboot everything to get things going. Let's go to a break, and we will be coming back with Mark Blumenthal from Synapse and the Innovation Summit.